Now the 2-0 and a swing and a ball hit to deep left field, and Atlanta strikes early. Soler lines a rocket into the Crawford boxes. And three pitches into game one of the World Series, the Braves have a 1-0 lead. Smith is set. And then Altuve getting a huge lead. Freeman's not holding him. There goes Altuve and a swing and a ground ball to second. Drop picked up by Albies and on to first in time. And the Braves will win it. They want to be down with the Canary.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
But good Wednesday morning, everybody. You just heard World Series history. The first time ever the leadoff hitter of a World Series homered. And it happened last night. And it happened at Minute Maid. And the Astros lose. And the game was over right after that. Astros never able to get back into that.
Game wasn't over. You had your chance in the first inning. You just couldn't do anything with it. I mean, you got to Charlie Morton, 26 pitches?
Yeah.
And no runs?
Yeah. Yeah.
The only way that's possible is to juice the bases, have like full counts on every batter. And once you didn't get that, that was like, well, you can get it back. But boy, that's a missed opportunity. Yeah. And then you had one other missed opportunity. You had two other missed opportunities. One is McCormick's error that extended the inning, got a run home, and you thought, okay, we could make something out of this. Machete strikeout before you know it, that's over. Because Altuve literally didn't show up yesterday. And then Altuve and Bregman, man, we'll get into more detail. And then the last chance you had, eighth inning, Yordan looked like he had a home run, hits the wall, you know, just below home run, so he ends up scoring, but he gets a triple out of it.
Yep.
Then you have Yuli with a shot, and it looked like it was going to be a home run, and it literally lands just in front of it. Just under the line. It bounces to the outfielder.
And then he slides like
the worst slide of the year.
Willie Mays
in the second. Yeah, doesn't get there, and he gets thrown out at second base. And then, like,
I think Dustin sent that out. Willie Mays Hayes slide, yeah. Or I don't know.
And that was that. That was the opportunities you had. You had three opportunities in the game, really. That is not much.
Every other batter didn't show up. Altuve didn't show up. Bregman didn't show up. Correa didn't show up. And then, Tucker obviously showed up. Yuli showed up, but McCormick, Maldonado.
McCormick seemed like he was coming up all the time. I'm like, oh, McCormick. But so did you. But you know so what? Did Altuve. And Altuve was like, Jose, four strikeouts between Altuve and Bregman. Strikeouts looking?
Yeah, and five total between the two of them. Is there a case to be made that Bregman shouldn't be batting third?
Yes, there 100% is. And yeah. I saw our guy Eric Layden. I sat with him for a little bit. We were talking about this, and Eric's dad said, is there a chance that maybe he messes with the lineup? Or maybe Eric asked his dad, who was sitting down there with him. We were talking about it. Dusty's not going to. He's not going to, but he should. He really should. Alex Bregman hasn't had the juice since 2019. The scandal seemed to take it out of him. People looking at him as the face of this thing whenever it was at FanFest and he had to talk. He's been like a whipped dog ever since then. He just has not been the same guy. Frank Thomas at the post-game celebrations, like, we got to get your swagger back. Where's your swagger? I mean, Frank Thomas is saying it on the post-game. He sees it. We talked about it last week. It's just, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know where Bregman, a little bit, some people call it douchebag. I call it a player with some edge because he's my guy, so I wouldn't use the D-bag term. I would say he just has some edge. But that Bregman, really, we just don't see him that much.
So, Correa, 0 for his last 10 with 5 strikeouts. I don't think he's been catching it nearly enough.
0 for 10 with 5?
0 for 10 with 5 strikeouts. Bregman had a couple of hits on Friday night, but he has not been that same guy. He's 3-4 his last 19, 4 for his last 23.
Yeah,
This is just it's
4 for 23.
4 for 23.
And how much before 19?
He got the two hits on Friday night, that was nice. But that was 2 for 11, 3 for 15, 3 for 19.
The trend is not your friend with him.
3 for 19. It's just not good. And you can't have that out of the three hole. The Braves had every starter had a hit. The Braves, it was like a merry-go-round. It was just they came. Now it's game one, and there's a long way to go. Obviously, they have home field advantage now, but there's an argument to be made now. You know, we were talking about maybe the outfield here should be Alvarez, Tucker, and Brantley, and use Aledmys Diaz or maybe Diaz plays in the outfield or whatever the case may be, because Chaz McCormick has been a mess too. He really has.
Chaz doesn't. You don't get the feeling that he's. I mean, okay, so it's a chess match between the hitter and the pitcher, right? And the hitter is up there by himself trying to figure things out. You don't get the sense he has any.
No, he doesn't.
He has any idea what's coming. He's just swinging from his heels and hoping he hits him.
Yeah, it has been. You know, hey, if Myers was healthy, you know what? Maybe Siri gets a start tonight. You got to forego defense right now because this Braves team's going to hit. This Braves team is on fire offensively.
Well, so we've got, and here's the other thing. Tyler, do you have it with Eduardo Perez? So this is a concern. So 2 games ago, bad Fromber. A game ago, amazing Fromber. Yesterday, bad Fromber. And it's about, for Fromber, it's obviously about locating pitches, throwing strikes. And he had some issues right off the bat. You know, ball, home run.
Yeah.
But what was really concerning to me is, very few soft ground outs yesterday for Fromber. He didn't even get through three.
Yeah.
They were putting a square barrel on everything they hit. They hit Fromber extremely hard. And Eduardo Perez yesterday commented on why that might be the case.
All right, so I am concerned if I'm the Houston Astros and just the approach that the Atlanta Braves are having against Fromber Valdez. They are not rolling over. They're hitting the ball the other way. They're a team that elevates the ball real well. What a game plan they've had so far. Now, their takes, if I'm an Astro, I'm a little concerned if he's tipping or not his pitches because they've been really good takes. The curveball going the other way from Darnold, the fastball going the other way from Peterson, right down that shot to center field.
And that's a former player, and I've noticed that is really the indicator when guys are talking about whether or not you're tipping pitches. It's based on the way that guys are taking him. You remember in the Red Sox series, the way that the Red Sox early in the series were sitting there and waiting out the wipeout curves and wipeout sliders. It was almost like they knew what was coming. And the way that they hit Fromber, and he specifically mentioned there was a curveball that they sat down. A Fromber almost gets that soft contact. You know, if he throws a good curve, he's going to get a lot of soft contact. They bang it into the dirt, and it's a ground out. And he talked about, boy, that curve where I can't remember who he said the hitter. I can't remember who the hitter was. Where he went the other way with the ball, that was an indicator to him. Jock Peterson hanging, you know, sitting tight and taking a fastball the other way. And that is definitely a concern. If the Braves have picked something up, that's an issue.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely an issue if he's doing that again. I don't know. Maybe he just got hit. That's all. It could well be. He didn't have his, again, he was nibbling instead of going after people. Here's the deal is what we thought was going to be Garcia tonight, right? And instead it's going to be Urquidy.
Yeah. When did that come about?
It came about, well, I don't know. Maybe because he wants to give Garcia an extra day
proper rest.
But we certainly know what Garcia is on the road. Now, maybe he's looking ahead to game seven and saying, if we get to a game seven, I'd much rather have Garcia on the mound than Urquidy be at home. But the way that this would have worked out for Garcia, because he is much better at home than he is on the road, is game two and game six at home for Garcia. We saw a really good Garcia the other night, on Friday night, and we haven't seen a really good Garcia on the road. An extra night of rest might be great. Maybe that'll help him some, but it certainly is a little bit alarming. If you go down 0-2 tonight and you got Garcia on the road, in game three in Atlanta. Holy crap, you're in some trouble now. I don't know that you're not in some trouble. You obviously, this team is so resilient. This team bounces back. This team doesn't care. This team is really, really good when it's back against the wall. But that was an awful start last night. Just an awful start. This Braves team is really feeling its oats right now. They're stepping up there. They look confident. They look great at the plate. They didn't care that it was the Dodgers as all their stars, all the money that the Dodgers throw at it. They didn't give a rat's ass. They came out and they just pounded them. And they did the same last night. Holy crap. This Braves team is a little bit dangerous right now. Now, losing Charlie Morton.
Yeah, so it's the first time we're getting to this. Charlie Morton, line drive shot by Yuli, ended up basically breaking his ankle. I mean, and I haven't seen an injury that bad and that tough of luck since I was, you know, playing frisbee golf and had to go down in the ditch and try to go.
Wait a minute.
And Tyler was there. It was me, you, and Tyler, and we were in Deer Park or wherever, and now similar injuries. I didn't get hit. I just rolled my ankle.
You didn't get hit by 102 mile an hour baseball.
And then you also didn't get three more outs.
You mean you just stepped
and
you broke
No,
your
I didn't step. I was trying to really go down that steep embankment, I'm trying to, and 1 foot slides out. But the impact of my foot twisting, of my ankle twisting inward, is a very similar force to 102 mile an hour exit velo ball. It's what doctors say.
But then you didn't also get three more outs.
Yeah,
after you got your injury.
Yeah, you went right to the hospital. You didn't play three more holes.
I actually left the. I didn't keep looking.
You didn't even get your frisbee.
But I picked up the other two frisbees.
Well, let me ask you something. Has anybody found that frisbee?
That driver? It's bad luck. So keep
do you have your? Do you sharpie your? Do you ink your discs?
Nope.
As they say,
I didn't ink this disc. That's mine.
You didn't ink your disc.
And I put my information in that and having people prank call me.
No, put your phone number, your address.
Hey, look who's this. Let's just call him 1,000
times. You can just put LZ.
I already get that from warranty companies who prank call
me. You already get that from Gilbert.
Yeah, no. I get that from people. Hello, you have been selected by Hilton. I haven't stayed in Hilton like 10 years. They didn't select me for anything. That's a timeshare. Hello. You have a warranty on your car? We want to extend it. So what I do is keep those people on the line for 20 minutes and get them excited and then tell them, I'm not interested in your service.
Or you tell them that you're John Granato.
Yeah, I mean, that's one move. I've done that before.
Yeah,
But Charlie Morton out is like,
it's big.
There's your win. The question was, what did the Astros, do you take anything from this? Your only win you got is that Charlie Morton's not coming back.
Yeah.
That's your only win. You didn't. There's nothing to be excited about yesterday from a hitting standpoint, from a pitching standpoint. You didn't generate enough. You generated traffic in the first four innings, in two different innings, basically. But in the first four innings, you had your shot. And once you got past the fourth with the Chaz McCormick error inning, that was it. That was a wrap. You weren't really getting – it wasn't going to happen anymore for you. And it was – but it's – Eric and I just kept saying, it's what it felt like is, well, that's just one of those. This is one of these games where it's just not your day.
No.
Like, you just had the sense that this just isn't going to be the Astros' day.
They're 0-4 in World Series game one.
Yes. Holy. So, 0-4. Never won a game one yet.
I don't like counting two.
Well, but they came back and won the series.
I'm gonna say this now.
What I'm saying. Like,
You know what my wife thinks the jinx was? And she's saying it super loud. And then, after the big double gin and tonic that were in the seat, it got way too loud. Way too loud, this comment. She's like, as soon as she sees Biggio throw out the first pitch, oh, this jinx. I'm like, hey, he's a Hall of Famer. She goes, you think that, and then before the double gin and tonics kicked in, she was just like, you know, I said, hey. Quiet. It's the beginning of this. And then she's like, oh, tell me you, and then once the doubles kicked in, like, oh, tell me you don't think Biggio couldn't do anything as an Astro. I'm like, easy with anything as an Astro.
Wow.
He's a Hall of Famer. Now, he couldn't do anything against the Braves, but easy with anything as an Astro.
Yeah, why Biggio against the Braves? And tonight,
I know.
Our guy Bagwell.
I know. Don't worry. She's yelling that in the concourse.
He was three for
And now Bagwell's going to jinx us next game. Like, hey, quit yelling about what a jinx Biggio is.
There was a series, though. Bags was 3-for-7, and he had 5 walks against the Braves in one of the series.
It was in 2005, I think, when he came back from the shoulder.
No.
You sure?
It was earlier than that. Yeah. And because everybody said, oh, he can't. I was 3-for-7 with 3 singles and 5 walks. How's that? I'll take that. I'll take that all
Sounds
day.
Like something Brantley might do.
So 714, well, no, Brantley's going 3 for 3. Man, Brantley was on it yesterday.
Yesterday he was. Yeah. Brantley's either going 3 for 3 or a left-hander's going to dominate him.
But
you have two choices. He's been really good lately.
Let's not get on Uncle Mike.
No, I like Uncle Mike.
He got a hit off him.
Uncle Mike's not going to hit a lot of home runs. That's what I meant. Three singles, walks. That was my comment.
Uncle Mike's doubling.
She was convinced and kept this going the entire game about Craig Biggio. And then finally I had to say, listen, you keep invoking that name. And now if you think that's a jinx, this is going to be on you the rest of the series if you keep throwing that name, the B word, out there.
Yeah. All right, it's 7:15 ESPN 97.5. Your thoughts on last night. You're more than welcome to get in here. 713-780-3776. Shane Reynolds is going to join us at 8:30 here on the show to talk about the game. But we got it open for you. 713-780-3776. I want to talk about cold. Oh, 813. That's what I'm talking about.
I want to talk about Maestro.
I wanted to talk about alcohol, but you talk about alcohol.
Right now, this segment is about alcohol. Maestro Dobel. That's how you pronounce that. Maestro Dobel, if you know any Spanish. And what they have is the Diamante, which is the Cristalino. The Cristalino, it's a varietal that was it was a category that was specifically created by Maestro Dobel because it is a blend of three different types of tequilas. It's charcoal filtered. It's crystal clear, unlike the Reposado or the Añejo. They take all the color out of it, and it's got this smooth, crisp finish. It's really, really delicious. But, you know, if you like something smoky, that the Añejo or Añejo Extra, that's going to be for you. You got the Reposado. If people who love Reposado know exactly what I'm talking about. And, of course, you have Silver. And I think their Silver is a beautiful cocktail tequila. So there's a different tequila for you. If you're not a tequila fan, you really should give it a try and see what you think. And if you've never had a tequila smooth enough to be a sipping tequila, that is a huge game changer. They're the official sponsor of the PGA Tour, and they're the official sponsor of my cocktails now when I'm having a tequila cocktail. So make sure that you want the refreshing flavor and the smoothness and the crisp distinctness of the Maestro Dobel. It is available at your local liquor stores where they sell fine liquor, and I think you're going to really enjoy 11 generations of tequila makers are making this for you. 100% blue agave. Experience the difference with Maestro Dobel.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, let's get in, guys. And girls, we want to get your thoughts on the game, what you saw. Maybe you're in the building, your takeaway from
your
how the
emails talking about routes.
You can talk about what the experience is like for you. Maybe it's your first World Series. You want to talk about
maybe your wife was yelling about
your
jinxes.
Wife was yelling about Craig Biggio
and
slandering Craig Biggio's name. And I'm trying to quiet her down, like, hey, hold your liquor better and stop yelling at Craig Biggio. All right,
hold your liquor better, woman.
Hey, stop with the gin and tonics making you loose with now. I think, to be honest, I think she would have said that about Craig Biggio with no drinks. And I will admit that, you know, I didn't feel a lot of confidence when he was facing off against John Smoltz's slider away. That was a bad feeling we had. Chase Hernandez asked, he's like, I was too young for the Braves matchups against the Astros to really remember what was, you know, like how that played out. I'm like, just know that you had pitchers who could hit their spots and they just... And you had umpires who had loose strike zones, and so they just kept dealing outside the strike zone. And you had an Astros team with, like, basically two guys that could hit, and the rest of them were just kind of slappies. That's basically what it was.
So Lance and I were there. What was the strike zone? I mean, there were some.
I couldn't tell.
I could see a TV, and I saw there were a lot of good calls. I saw that, but a lot of calls that I thought, what the?
You can't. All you're judging is how much Maldonado moves, like how frozen he is. So, how was the strike zone yesterday?
I think it was fairly tight.
Seemed
fair.
I thought
probably second or third inning, he started loosening up. I mean, it was Tom Hallion was at first, like that check
That's
swing call on Correa was
and,
bad.
And a check swing, and then no double, and it was a
double play.
Yeah, the double
play, turned out to be
Tom
out,
Hallion but. Is the worst. How does that guy get another? How does he get another series? How does he get a World Series as bad as he is? And he's the crew chief. That is just awful. And he is terrible. That check swing was awful. That is awful. And I don't know. That dude, he just does not like the Astros. He just does not like the Astros.
How are you?
And, you know, and I'm not, Joe Buck hates a blah, blah, blah. But this guy, every call against the Astros is bad.
Yeah, but it had no impact on the game. I mean, you didn't hit.
In big situations, you can't have that.
Yeah, but you didn't hit. You didn't hit. You got Stanek falling down.
If he didn't, that check swing wouldn't have been a check swing. The Astros would have won the game.
Yuli falling down on plays that should be easy plays. Like, literally, whatever would not. Home runs that miss by about 5 inches. Home runs that turn into triples. Like, anything that you can think of that could happen good. The only good thing that happened was an error. And, you know, by the way, I know pay the man and all that stuff, and we love Carlos. Can Carlos maybe bust it down the line every once in a while now? Carlos has got this new thing where he's just decided he's going 3/4 speed down the line.
If Jordan can leg out a triple, Carlos can surely run to
the
first
ground
base
ball to the shortstop
a little bit faster.
Late in the game, seventh inning, that he throws over and he just kind of short arms it and it bounces. It was scooped, but Carlos isn't even running hard on that one. If that thing is bobbled at all and picked up, Carlos is out. He's safe.
He's 0 for his last 3 games, and he's got a. And I think he's got. I don't know. I have no idea. But there's something in his head right now. He ain't. When he's confident, he's so good. And when he's not, he's bad.
I'll just be honest with you. If he didn't get a hit here, if I'm the Yankees, I'd take $100 million off the table. I'd say, we're going to give you 340. Now it's down to 240. And that's what I would do. If I were the Yankees and the Tigers and any team interested in Carlos, I would immediately pull $100 million off the table and say, okay, this is gone now. This is gone. And now the Astros are like, I guess we'll just have to sign Carlos to a lesser deal.
Okay, if you could now. Well, let's get Chuck in here. Chuck, and then we'll talk about this. Chuck, what's going on?
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, pal?
Hey, this is last night just kind of seemed indicative of the whole second half of the season. We win about 3 in a row, then we show up for Doug. Somebody just needs to tell them that's a winning team over there, and maybe we'll turn it around. It's not Detroit or Texas or Baltimore, so we hopefully won't get swept. But that's all I got to say, guys. Love the show.
Listen. We had where's Forrest? Oh, this series is over. You weren't here that day. He calls up, and I shut him down now. Shut down. No, Forrest, this series is not over. This team looked like it was dead after game 3 of the Red Sox series.
It looked like it was dead. I mean, come on, guys. We've had enough history to know. Yes. You look like you were dead after the first 2 against Washington when you went 0-2. And then before you know it, you look like you're the cock of the walk after you win the next 2. This is baseball series. Up, down. That's how it goes.
Mahdi's in the car, and he's talking like this. He's saying
she's not in the car for anything.
Well, you don't know.
That's a phrase. Cock of the walk. You're peacocking out there.
Yeah.
And that's what baseball is. This is literally one game. The Astros can come out tonight and have a big game, and
or they could lose, and they'll still be in it.
Well,
that's what they do.
They will, but I'd prefer not to.
I would prefer
this Braves
team
does not look like they're going to make a lot of
mistakes.
Neither
did the Red Sox.
Fast.
Neither did the Red Sox.
But we knew they were a slap nut bunch of defensive players, and Schwarber can't catch a ball thrown to him.
Yeah, that is true. Freddie Freeman might be better.
How confident are you? Roof open or roof closed?
I don't like the roof
open.
By
the way, roof is open tonight, boys and girls. Major League Baseball said roof has to be open.
Do we want the wind blowing in?
Well, here's the thing. It wasn't loud enough. It was early on in the game.
Yeah,
they took the crowd out of it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The only time it got loud on TV was after the double play. They actually reviewed it and then called it out. That was
whenever it got loud
on TV.
As you walked around the concourse, and I'm talking about like 3rd, 4th, 5th inning, people, let's go Astros, couldn't get anyone. like if when people were trying to get guys pumped up, concourse was no before it was 6-1, but it was five nothing. But you couldn't get people were and listen, that's our city. I love our city, but of our city, if we get down, we're quick to pull the like. Oh, I'm just going to sit this out until it gets a little better, and I'm not going to bring them back single handedly with my energy. That's just not that's not the crowd. That's not a Houston right. crowd is not going to bring a team back with its energy. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, I'm just being honest. Love the city, but that's not how Houston fan bases roll. They need you to keep them engaged, and then they will reciprocate.
Let's give it up, too, for the Astros bullpen. On the other side, Jake Odorizzi dealt last night. Jake dealt.
Needed
and
it,
so
too.
Yimi did. Maton did. Rayleigh did. Hey, the bullpen has looked pretty damn good.
They gave you a chance to try to get the offense going again.
You know who else is giving you a chance? Craig DeCerf.
Craig DeCerf always gives you a chance. He said, listen, come on out here and let me hook you up with this dealer cash finance or dealer cash back purchase allowance that we've got going on. And you say, oh, that would be nice. And I got to tell you that right now on the 2021 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab, you know, great offer for you right now. You've got option packages available. You've got finance options, 2.49 for 72 months. If that's something that interests you, make sure that you head by. But it goes far beyond that. If you are looking for great offers like the 2021 Buick Enclave, which is the SUV that they have, phenomenal interior. They've got a $3,750 purchase allowance available for you right now with additional allowances if you're a GM owner or leasee or Buick owner or leasee right now. So go find your best offer. I'm just giving you two of many. Go to LanceZCars.com. You can see the entire inventory they have in stock, and you can see some of the programs they have available too. When you head out to Angleton, they are going to take great care of you. Lower prices and unbelievable trade-in value for you gives you the best prices you're going to find in the car market, and my man Craig DeCerf will go out of the way to make sure that you are happy before, during, and after the sale. Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick GMC. Make sure you hit the website, LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Hey guys, want to tell you about Simple Seats. I'm actually on the site now. Looking for game two, and the prices, and this is what happens. You lose a game, the prices go down. It's a fluid pricing structure, Simple Seats. Now, this is the secondary market, right? And that's where we're used to buying our tickets. But I watched the ticket prices come down as the time got closer to the game. So if you want to wait, you can wait. If you want to make sure you get the seat that you want, Simple Seats can put you in the, they'll show you the row that you're going to get and things like that. But here's what you need to know. Our good friends over at Simple Seats, they never have a fee. So a lot of times you get the ticket prices, you think, okay, this is how much I'm going to pay. And then when you go to checkout, which may take you a while to click through multiple pages to get to checkout, then you get there and you see these exorbitant fees on there. And now they got you roped in. You're like, ah, man, I really wanted to go. I had no idea they're going to hit me with another $25 per ticket. At Simple Seats, there's never an extra fee. Right now, to get into the building, section 416, the lowest price, it's actually in several sections, is $388. Right now, into a World Series game, you can jump on that now. The prices may come down on some of these sections throughout Minute Maid Park. And when they do, jump on them and go experience a win tonight as the Astros take on the Braves in Game 2 of a World Series. If you've never been to a World Series, it's a chance for you to experience it and do it with no fees and an easy, easy process, checkout process with SimpleSeats.com. This is your new home for local tickets, SimpleSeats.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 7:33 on ESPN 97.5 and 92. Let's go. What did you think? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. The number if you'd like to get in here to hang out with us and talk about this game. I thought the bullpen was out. I thought Odorizzi. You know, Odorizzi's been pitching pretty damn well. You know what?
It was a great effort to save some bullpen yesterday. You needed Jake to get in there. Fromber couldn't even give you three. I'm so sick of this up and down roller coaster Fromber puts us on. But if he's tipping his pitches, and Eduardo Perez, we played that sound earlier, we'll play it again later, but Eduardo thinks some of the takes that the Braves had were indicative of the fact that Fromber may be tipping his pitches. And if that's the case, I mean, Braves too good. They're just they're too good a team for you to beat them advantage. if you're tipping your pitches.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
Now Charlie Morton is out for the playoffs. So their Lance McCullers is out.
Yeah.
So now both Lance McCullers are out for both teams, or both Charlie Mortons are out, is the way you could look at that. That was pretty ballsy to throw 16 pitches on what amounted to a fractured ankle. But boy, at the end, it's just like you knew something was, whoa, that wasn't good. And then to find out that he had pitched on a fractured ankle, like I said.
He struck out Altuve on it. He threw a 96-mile-an-hour pitch on it.
Well, it's because he's Charlie Morton.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, we know what kind of badass he is.
Yeah. No question. Listen, their bullpen is not great. The Astros can get to him. I think, and this is something didn't think I'd ever say, the Astros have the edge in the bullpen. They certainly got the edge in the closer. Will Smith is very hittable. Matzik has been pretty good. Minter, you can get to him. And he threw a bunch of pitches, 43. So Minter may be done. And, oh, by the way, you hit him. You lit him up for three hits. You just didn't come up with the hits that you had to have. This team is so good. When it was 5-0, I was like, it's still the third inning. Haven't even batted in the third inning. It's 5-0. I'm okay. This should be okay. And, oh, by the way, you were getting to Charlie. Obviously, that first inning was a lot for Charlie. And then Charlie goes out, and you're hitting Minton, but you couldn't come up with any of the big hits that you have to have. This team has giant nuts, and they just didn't come up with it.
It was just one of those games. You don't want to turn it into a series, because if so, you'll be done 4-1, and the Braves will be celebrating at home game 5 in their place if you don't. You know, you're going to have to step up, and it probably is going to take some long ball. You're going to probably need some 2- and 3-run homers. But like you said, John, you just have to get into the bullpen. You really do, and I think you can do that. Baseball is not played with starters going 7 innings, and then you get the very best of a bullpen anymore. That's just not the way baseball is played. Starters don't go that long. Hitters, especially when you face the Astros are going to be more disciplined. They're going to foul more pitches off. They're going to get pitchers deeper in pitch counts, and you're going to get your opportunities at bullpens. And that bullpen is there to be had, but you are going to have to string some hits together, and I think you're going to have to play a little bit of long ball. I mean, that's just something that's going to have to be part of what you are in this series.
What do you change up today? 713-780-3776. You know Dusty is...
Yeah, let's do this. What change would you make today? Because I'm guessing it's batting order, but it could be the eight hole hitter is gone now. Chaz McCormick, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
That could be one of the changes that people call.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you're gonna have to give up some defense, obviously. Or maybe it's Siri that you put in, and you're giving up defense with Siri, certainly. But Chaz McCormick doesn't look good at the plate. He swings from his heels, and you know, it seems like everyone, and if when he's good, he's connecting. When he's not, it's not good. Max Fried, his last outing, he only pitched 4 2/3 and gave him 5 earned runs. It's a lefty on the mound today. So you got a lefty on the mound today. What do you change up against Max Fried tonight? What do you want to see Dusty do? Now, Dusty is not one. By the way, Bregman's not getting out of the 3-hole, everybody. Just so you know, Bregman's not getting out of the 3-hole. Uncle Mike is probably still going to be in the 2-hole, even against the left-hander. He looked pretty good against Minter. It was okay. That's fine. He looked okay against Minter, hit him. So maybe Uncle Mike is not as good against lefties, but he can hit lefties. What do you do tonight? 713-780-3776. Juan is here. Juan, you make any changes tonight?
Hey, guys. Always great shows. Altuve is 8-43. Never thought he was that great of a leadoff. He's not George Springer. He's thinking too much. His body's all over the place. I would move him down, and I would move Bregman down because he's a catalyst. But when he's not being the catalyst, I don't think we do well.
Who do you lead off then?
I would lead off with Uncle Mike.
I thought about that. I'd like somebody a little faster.
Not against a lefty. I'm not leading off Uncle Mike.
No, you remember Freed's on the mound, yeah. And lefty on lefty. I'll remind everyone, Michael Brantley against left-handers this year is 300 points lower
He looked better last
against
night.
In any OPS. But, yeah, but in general,
yeah.
I mean, he looked better against Braves relievers, who we just said you can get to.
He got to Morton, too. He hit the ball hard last night.
Yeah, but I'm talking about lefty.
Right.
We know he can hit righties. Against lefties, he's over 300 points lower. Like, this is over a long sample size, and this is over a year where he hit the ball well in general. He's not – career-wise, he's always been worse against lefties. This year, it's the starkest contrast in his history. He ain't leading off against the lefty. He'll play. He's still going to play.
He ain't moving Altuve out of there. Listen, you're living and dying with Altuve.
No.
Now, Cintron told him he was moving around too much. Then he homered. Remember,
he said the left leg was diving in too far.
He's diving, and he's moving around, and he got more. He got quieter at the plate, and then he homered immediately. You remember that?
Okay, can I admit something here? I didn't. He's like, well, Alex Cintron told him he was diving in, and they showed him stepping in with his lead leg towards the plate, because he does dive in towards the plate. And he goes, in this one, you'll see he didn't, and he hit a home run. And I thought, well, that's cool. I thought he was kind of – I didn't think it was a huge difference when I saw the home run.
Yeah.
The videos between the two, I thought, it kind of looks the same to me.
Well, but in baseball, not a huge difference is – it doesn't, you know what? It's a matter. It's a game of inches. He hits the ball square by a quarter of an inch on a baseball, and it means a home run versus a foul tip. Let's get Eddie in here. Eddie, what do you do tonight?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, I think one major change I would do is I would definitely have a talk with Yuli Gurriel, man. I get so frustrated that there's too many close plays at first base, and I'm noticing that he's not extending his body or his arm and reaching out for the throws to bail the throws out, man. Too many close plays at first base because he's waiting for the throws to get to him. That's one major change that I have. I did notice. I even slow-moed it yesterday, and I shared a couple of videos to my buddies. It was too many of those plays where it's too many close plays. Those are going to end up hurting us if he doesn't. If they don't talk to him about help bailing out the pros, man. Other than that, it's just do the Astros thing and it's just one game, man.
Yeah, it's one game. It is a lefty on the mound. I'm with you on that. I've been saying that for a while. Yuli was not a natural first baseman; he was a third baseman. Yuli's turned into a really good fielding first baseman. But yeah, I'm with you. He never ever has extended as much as he possibly can. I'm not going to teach Yuli how to play first base. He's been there for for 5-6 years now with the Astros.
John, you need to.
I'm pretty sure on that
this one out. I played some
on that
base.
Questionable double play call. He extended.
Yeah,
to get
I do want to teach Yuli. Listen, Yuli. One of the things you need to do is keep yourself loose at the back so you can switch to either foot.
Yeah.
Right. Either foot so you can stretch. One of the things you need to do is really get a lot of hammy stretches going on, but don't neglect the front, the quads also.
What about calves?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can get on a slant board is one of the things you can do. But listen, I want to tell you how to play a little bit of first base. I played a little first.
When did you play first?
I played first in high school.
In high school? Where? Yeah. What? On what?
Also some
JV?
Some
freshman team?
No, varsity.
On varsity.
And JV. Yeah, I got some reps. Played also in men's league softball and also co-ed softball in the Pappas League. But it's still baseball. It's still the sport. It doesn't matter where you play. It's still – listen, manning the position is manning the position, John. It doesn't matter what you know that Little League – like, you know that from Little League football coaches who coach their Little League teams, their peewee football.
Maybe we could call Yuli this morning and you can give him a couple of tips.
I mean, if somebody will just give me his number, I'll text him.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, man, notice you're not extending.
Huh.
If he's not, on a serious note, if he's not, like, I've never really noticed that, but you obviously need to.
I have. Yuli doesn't. There's a lot of times it's like real close or guy beats it, legs it out, and it's Yuli, you could stretch a little further.
Yeah.
But he's.
We need to unpucker a little bit.
Yeah.
One game. Astros going to be
743, ESPN 97.5. Do you know what?
You know what
I think I need tonight for this game, and I'm going to get it.
What's that?
Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It was unfortunate I couldn't find it at the park last night, and maybe that's why we lost.
Mm.
Maybe that's it. because I've got to have cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Can we get that other beer out of Minute Maid and just put in Coors Lights? Can we do that? That other beer that nobody likes? I don't understand why that's the beer that you can find all over the ballpark, but we can't. You can't find Coors Light? Because if we want to win games here, I mean, look at, we're 0-4 in the World Series. You know why? Because the other beer is the official beer. You know what we need? The official beer of Game 1. Now, make the official beer of Game 2 cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. That's what we need. All right? So that's what I'm going to have tonight. That's what you should have tonight. If you want your team to win, okay, fine. If you don't drink Coors Lights tonight and they lose, it's on you. I'm drinking Coors Lights tonight, and they're going to win. But if you can't do your part, that's on you. You want them to lose? Great. I want them to win, so I'm drinking cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Guys, I'm looking at Underdog Fantasy. I just looked at the website. I was looking at some of the different. Baseball's not out yet for the over-unders. You'll have that for the World Series later on today. But you can draft for the World Series. You can actually, it's a $5 entry with prizes of $2,000 on underdogfantasy.com. And you can draft between the two teams and try to make some money that way. You can go head-to-head. You can do a larger draft for the World Series. You can play the football this weekend. You can play Thursday night football. You've got a separate game for that. Like, it's the trumpet call, as a man named Jackie P. once said. The trumpet plays the national anthem every single day. That means there's action going on, and Underdog Fantasy has you covered with your daily fantasy, but also with projects or products like their over-under game, which is anywhere from 2 to 5 players. Pick their overs or unders for whatever they set for, you know, total strikeouts or total passing yards, or John Morant's 37.5 today, points, rebounds, and assists. You want to go over or under. You tie those up between 2 and 5, and you're going to win multipliers of whatever your bet is. And this is completely legal. It's available at underdogfantasy.com. It's a game of skill. All you have to do is use promo code radio, and you're getting a $25 bonus on top of your first deposit. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code radio, and for your shot at fantasy football, fantasy basketball, fantasy baseball fun, and also over-unders and rivalries, it's the game to play.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
First ever World Series leadoff home run. How about that? To lead off the World Series with a home run. First time that's ever happened.
Seemed crazy to me.
That is crazy.
The first hitter, that's the first time they've gone yard in 117 years. That seemed insane.
That's crazy.
But it happened. And you know how I knew? Because I was sitting in Eric Layden's seats, and the Braves executives were behind us, or somebody, some head honchos were there saying that out loud.
And where's Eric Layden now?
On the phone, because he was in Houston. Well, but now he's headed out of town.
Well, is he? Oh, I hope he's able to fly through this. Because, goodness gracious, hope he doesn't get hit by lightning or something.
Actually, rain is coming in.
It is coming in. So he may. I got to fly out, too.
Yep.
Eric Layden is with us right now, as a matter of fact, on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, Eric, I'm wishing you the best.
What's up, fellas? Did we win?
No, they did not.
Weren't you there?
No, but we left after the 8th, and Eric wasn't sure if maybe we came back.
I left after the 8th. Yeah. So I didn't know if
not
they came
fan,
back.
Not a fan. Not a fan. I left in the 7th. left in the 7th.
I was just happy to see that, Lance was moving around good. He didn't have his little knee scooter on from his frisbee golf injury, and he was moving around pretty
it's
good.
Hard to get, listen, it's hard to get it up and down the steps.
Eric, if you're able to come back from a frisbee golf injury, though, I mean, let's talk about the courage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a minute.
I tried to tell him, Eric, that what happened to my ankle, the way it was inverted, like you don't Charlie usually see Morton. That. Similar to what Charlie Morton went through, taking a 102-mile-an-hour exit velo shot off the ankle. Not dissimilar.
Frisbee golf driver, you know, that was like
it was
40 miles an hour off the disc.
He did tell me he did tell me, John, he said, you know, that was my only driver, and it was down in a canyon.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they were different discs.
Yeah,
so
yeah, no, we have.
That's
a,
about my frisbee golf knowledge.
I'm not going to take up all time, but there's a driver, there's a middle club, and there's a putter. Tyler's, we'll talk about it later. Tyler's in.
We'll
in disc
do
golf
a whole
game.
Show on it, probably.
Yeah, we can do that. But Erica,
we're going to dedicate that after the World Series.
You came in. It was interesting getting perspective of the away team who sits right next to your dad's seats and listening to them a little bit. But that was a game. You and I talked about this. It's just one of those games. I mean, it was not going to happen.
No.
And you could see it after the fourth inning. Like, this might not happen.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of know. I feel like with the Astros, too, they go as they're timely hitting. I mean, and that's kind of an obvious statement, but in the playoffs this year, right, they've hit with guys on. And when they have, they win, and when they haven't, they lost. And you saw it in the first, you saw it in the fourth. Like, you know, obviously the errors or something that is not, you know, not part of this team, not part of this defense. So, you know, you just kind of could feel it in the air. I mean, you weren't worried about it after the top of the first. They put some runs up, whatever. You got a whole game. But then you load them up. Tucker can't get a hit. You load them up, you know, again. We can't get a hit. So it just, you know, it just kind of felt like an uphill battle all night. But, I you know, to me, it's, you know, we've been in these long enough to know that this is a long series. These things shift. So, you know, so drastically day to day. But, you know, it's still worried. It's not panic mode. These guys need to, you know, relax. I think they are. The city needs to relax a little bit, you know? No big deal.
Right. Eric Layden, star of Ozark this year, season 4.
January 26th. Do you know that yesterday, you know, my favorite story I've told you before is when I was in California.
Did he tell you how Ozark ends this season?
No, he did not.
He didn't?
Not supposed to. He'll be murdered. But, you know, my favorite
Maybe
story.
He'll tell us now.
My favorite story is when I was in California having dinner with him like 3 years ago. And somebody came up to our table. Excuse me, are you Lance Zierlein?
Did I tell you
that, right? Oh, no. I swear to God, Eric can tell you. He said, but I'm setting it up for something else. Are you Lance Zierlein? I love your mock draft stuff and all your draft stuff. Like, oh, thank you. And so that's been my favorite story. I'm in Eric City with an actor.
With a movie star.
So yesterday we're at the game, and all of a sudden, and he got me back, because all of a sudden this girl comes up and says, I'm sorry, but can I get a picture with you?
To him?
And I was like, you mean, no,
me?
I'm sorry. You, me? Your host of the Bench, one of the kings of sports radio?
Yeah.
She goes, no. Eric, I was looking at you, staring at you. I thought that might be you. I said, how do you know him? Longmire. She hit him with Longmire. Okay, that's fine. Took a picture.
We thought for sure she was coming for you, man.
I know,
because that's just how it works.
I cropped
that's
their heads out of it. So, yeah. Intentionally. Can you take the picture?
Yeah,
no problem.
It cuts off
right at the nose.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully she likes her picture.
Yeah.
But yeah, Eric got some play there. Hey, what would you do with the lineup, Eric? We talked about, you know, would you move Bregman down? I don't think Pawpaw Dusty is going to move Bregman down, but I would. How would you shift the lineup around?
I mean, you still got to stagger your left and right, right? So you can't move them down so much that it affects that, because I still like having those guys left, right. But Bregman is struggling. I mean, we watched him last night. He looks lost up there. Two off-speed breaking pitches, right down the middle of the plate. And he watches him for strike three both times.
I mean,
doesn't take the bat off his shoulder. I mean, he looks really uncomfortable, and he doesn't have his confidence. Like, you almost wish he was up there swinging and missing. I mean, he does not look the same when he walks. He doesn't look the same in interviews. He doesn't look the same. I don't think moving him is going to do anything. I leave him in the lineup where he is tonight. Dusty does tinker like crazy, but I leave him in there tonight. And see if he can't get things going against the left-hander, and then see what happens after that. But, yeah, I mean, if he struggles again, I don't think it's the worst idea to move him in the lineup.
Pawpaw doesn't do that.
I would move Tucker all the way down, though.
You'd move who?
I don't move. I said I do not. I heard somebody say that they moved Tucker all the way down to that three spot. I do not do that.
No, not against the lefty. First of all, Pawpaw's not doing it. But this is, you know, Carlos getting up to the five hole when he was on fire was just, that was a major move for Pawpaw. He just doesn't do this. But it's Altuve, it's Brantley, it's Bregman, It's Jordan. It's Carlos. This is it. Yuli was maybe the best hitter they had against Boston. Second best hitter they had against Boston. He's hitting seven. That's all there is to it. Pawpaw ain't messing with it.
I think if you move Carlos down to the five, though, he's in the five last night.
Yeah, he's in the
five
right
now. Yeah. That's where you leave him.
Yeah.
I don't think you mess with that. And tonight, listen, tonight we're going to have some new juice. You know, the roof's open tonight. Kind of like that.
You like it?
Kind of like that.
Well, yeah, if we won last night, I'd be pissed about it.
But it's not loud.
It's loud for a minute, but we hadn't won a game in that place in forever at a World Series game. So it's not the roof's problem.
It's true. Well, last time they won a World Series game,
was game five.
Was that 13-12?
Was the crazy game five was last time they won one?
That's the last time. Holy crap!
Yeah, so it's not the roof, but they will get the W tonight. They will get the W tonight.
Astros playing four World Series.
Urquidy's going to give us a game tonight.
Yeah, I was a little surprised about Urquidy as opposed to Garcia. Yeah, who's awesome.
You get natural rest for Garcia, and like you said,
well, he
you
had
know
natural
what?
Rest anyway.
Did
you get
he?
Another? Yeah, you get another.
Right, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Well, 4 days.
No, yeah, he would have been on full rest. Yeah. He would have been fine on full rest. I think today would have been his full rest. I was a little surprised at that move too, because I also think Garcia's numbers are way better at home too.
Way better. But if you're down 0-2 going to Atlanta with Garcia, that's trouble, boys.
Well, this cannot be about setting up a game seven. Like, you can't be thinking that far in advance. You might as well jinx
it. Renato, you're going to feel better 0-2 going to Atlanta with Urquidy?
Well,
that doesn't make you feel any better.
No. I mean, nothing.
But Garcia on the road. 0-2
is a disaster. Yeah. So, anyway, if it's 0-2, it's a disaster.
Yeah, 0-2 is tough, but by the way, 0-2, it was 0-2. We went to Washington and took three.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Not over, but it certainly isn't ideal.
No. You got to split at home. You got to split at home, and you got to get one there. They haven't lost a game there, by the way, in an eternity. They don't lose there.
Yeah.
And by the way, if they split here and they go win three in Atlanta, the Braves, they deserve to win the World Series.
Yep. 7:58.
I think we're gonna win tonight. We'll get one there.
And you have got to. By the way, you're gonna hurt your defense when you go there because you got to put Alvarez and Brantley on the corners and Tucker in center. And oh, by the way,
that's exactly right.
We had Chris Rose on yesterday. He said, "Oh, you're not going to do that."
Right. But by the way,
they've done that four times this year. By the way,
are they going to keep Solaire? Are they going to keep Solaire out of the outfield? Are they going to keep him on the bench? I don't think you can do that. Who are you pulling out? Are you going to take Duvall out? Are you going to take Peterson out?
No, you can't take Duvall out. That's for sure. No.
Okay.
Yeah, they lose a bat.
So they're going to have to make a decision because, they lose a bat too. And they lose, I mean, Solaire is a tough bat to leave out of that lineup.
Well, you lose Peterson. He's out of the lineup. Jock, beat him.
I mean, Jock's over. Take him out. You take the Pearls out. That place is going to go mad.
Yeah. I don't care.
John's got their lineup figured out.
Yeah. No. I'd play Solaire and not Peterson.
I think they're checking on Granato to see if you like that move or not. It's not that I think you care or not.
Yeah.
I just think that's going to be a hard decision to make.
Who gave him that pearl necklace?
He said his jeweler did.
Who did give him that
pearl necklace? His jeweler made
it for him. Snitzer's wife?
Let him expand on this if you'd like, Tyler.
That's all.
Tyler
and Aaron,
no, I know what he's doing.
Commissioner, I'm turning
break,
my
so.
Mic off, Commissioner, but they can talk about it.
We're going to take a break. We'll talk about it during the break. Aaron, thanks, man.
So you got Ozark later, coming fellas. Out in January, right?
January 21st.
I got Ozark coming out in January.
He's a chef.
21st. I got to get back to LA, though.
He's a chef.
Let's hope the rain holds
He's
off.
A chef?
He's a chef in Ozark.
In Ozark?
He's all tatted up, too.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's playing our boy, Ryan. He's playing
Ryan
LeShane.
Is
that where you studied for this role at LeShane's?
I studied with LeShane. I studied under LeShane for 30 minutes.
Old granddad.
I got it down.
Old granddad.
Yeah.
It's nothing but old granddad
shots.
This
is what I learned. I learned you get tattoos and you drink. That's what I learned being a chef.
That is awesome. All right, LeShane. Eric, we appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Later, fellas.
All right. There's Eric Layton right here on ESPN 97.5. Ozark, January 21st. See our guy. All right, right now, though, we got to talk about
patios.
Texas patio.
Yeah, Texas Custom Patios.
You watching it on your patio tonight?
Actually, I am, because I'm making some steaks tonight. We're going to see if we can change things up. Last time I had steak, the Astros won. I'm not afraid to do that. And I'd make it a Pete's Fine Meat Texas Custom Patios, because that's where I do all my grilling. And but here's the thing. You can use a separate grill if you have it in your patio, but you can also have it built in. You can get an infrared grill. You can get a variety of different types of grills and flat tops. The outdoor kitchens that they'll do for you, they've got a variety of different types of amenities that you can choose. And so they'll find the one that is perfect for you, and you can set that up yourself depending on what your budget is. But just know this, they're going to build something that's going to be outstanding. Outdoor kitchen, outdoor living area, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a company who is going to build something that is going to look great, it's going to add value to your home, and it's really going to give you the functionality that you want to really have your own oasis, and that is 100% what they're building. Go look what they did for my simple house. You can go to tcplance.com, and you can see the before and afters, tcplance.com, or go to Texas Custom Patios and see the entire group of before and afters for every type of backyard you can possibly imagine. It's texascustompatios.com.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.